Welcome, Cushies, welcome, Warriors, welcome, listeners, and welcome, amigos, to the first chapter of 2019's From the Other Side of the Fence podcast with your host, the voice of the voiceless, and myself, Mr. Daniel Boyer. It's been a while, guys. It has been a while, over a month now since I actually last think I did one of these podcasts, and I know I have kind of lied to you there, haven't I? Because I said this was meant to be a 2-week thing, you know, I should be producing these and spitting them out. So I do apologise to those that have carried on with this journey, listening to these podcasts when they are released. The reasons being, I'm going to be totally truthful and honest with you in regards to why there hasn't been a chapter for the last month. And the reason, quite simply, is I've lacked the motivation to actually come on here and talk about the current situations I'm in, talk about, you know, what's going on in my life with my wife as well. Yeah, and you're probably thinking that, sitting there thinking, what? Hold on, this guy has already produced 5 podcasts telling us, you know, giving us tips and helps and advice on how we should deal with our problems, how we should be there for one another, how we need to reach out when times get hard. And then he's sitting there telling us he couldn't even bother to do these because he was struggling. What an hypocrite. What a douchebag, eh? Well, some of you can feel that and you may be right. But I mean, I suppose that's one of the difficult things when you're having to deal with a lot of emotional stress, is that sometimes it can just get too much. And no matter what someone says to you, even myself, you know, no matter what someone says to you, sometimes you do just need to, you know, retract back into your own body and just take a bit of me time, evaluate the situation you're in. As I mentioned just before, the festive period that my wife unfortunately has, you know, got Cushing's again, a lot worse than what it was before. We actually found out during this period since I last spoke to you that she's got secondary Cushing's as well. So she's actually got Cushing's in 2 parts of her body. One, a recurrence in the pituitary gland, and this one's actually a second one on the adrenal. So she's actually got 2 bouts of the same disease, which is just astronomically rare. It's ridiculous, really, to even, you know, there's probably more hope of me winning the lottery than a person getting that, especially after they've already had a successful surgery to remove Cushing's. It's absolute ridiculous odds. So I think that really hit us for 6 when we actually evaluated what was going on and had to kind of absorb everything. We are preparing for this operation, which is happening on the 30th of January, so a little less than 2 weeks away. And when you're preparing for an operation, it's kind of it's a whole new battleground altogether, really, because you've had to fight through the testing again. You've then had to fight through the acceptance of getting the confirmation that you've got the disease, and then you've got to fight through the battle of waiting for the surgery. Now, I do think that waiting for the actual surgery is probably the hardest part about going through something like this, from a support side especially. And I know when I've talked to my wife, that's one thing she absolutely hates, is the waiting game, is the just sat there doing nothing, just waiting to be cured. And yeah, when I think about it from my side, obviously, when you're trying to get your initial diagnosis, you're there fighting, you're going to do testing, so you're going to different appointments, it kind of takes the edge away, because you're like, oh, instead of there sitting absorbing everything that's gone on, you don't know at that time, so you're going to different appointments thinking, oh well, what could this be, or hope this test is all right, or you're having to push back against certain doctors, oh, can you get me a second opinion on this, and that whole fight kind of just snowballs, and before you know it's over. And then when you get to that final stage and they're actually like, yes, you do have this condition, it's a lot worse than what it was than the previous time, we can't go and do the same surgery we had last time because it's too dangerous, we need to do this surgery, which is having a BLA, by adrenalectomy, which, for those of you who don't know, if I'm speaking gobbledygook, that is having both of her adrenal glands removed. And we was like, what? Okay, all right. That's not too bad, is it? And as I've mentioned, I think I touched upon it, as I say, over a month ago. This is a major surgery. This is swapping one illness for another. It's going to affect her for the rest of her life. And we've had to wait, really, since end of November. And when you're told you need urgent life-saving surgery, you think, right, holy hell, next week then, tomorrow? We were told at end of November. And we're now in January, 2 weeks away from her up. Then it's going to be the end of January. So it's been a two-month wait. 2 months of waiting. 2 months of sat here twiddling our thumbs, having to absorb that devastating news and having to mentally prepare. And I do believe that is the hardest point and the hardest factors to try and get your head around is the fact of you just are sitting here waiting to be saved. There's nothing else you can do at this point, and that, I think, is the most frustrating part of the journey. And unfortunately, some of the reasons we've been told, I mean, she's been on the urgent cancellation list number one for the area, so if there was anyone to cancel up in the meantime, she'd be writing under this surgeon. But because Christmas came and the cuts to the NHS, there's just not enough beds. And when I rang up last Monday, it reopened after Christmas. I'm like, has been any cancellations over Christmas? Oh no, we've had to make cancellations because we didn't have enough beds. And you just then think, oh my God, you know, these cuts are playing with people's lives. And I won't ever necessarily slag the NHS off, but I will slag the government off for, you know, what is happening to the NHS, how it's been allowed to just turn into, you know, a financial bucket with holes in it. It's just ridiculous because, as I say, the real victims here are the patients that rely upon it. Thankfully, I've never had to rely upon the NHS for my own personal issues. I haven't. I've been very fortunate in that respect. However, obviously, I've used it a lot with my wife. I think I've been to every hospital in the Yorkshire district. So, you know, I might start my own trip advisor, start rating them. Oh, yes, dear, yeah, this was nice. Oh, 5-star. They had good hand facilities for, you know, washing your hands after. Oh, 2-star. The cup of teas were a bit cold here. Didn't like it. But, you know, I've done all that. I've journeyed with my life throughout the NHS, and massive advocate of the NHS. They've saved my wife's life in the past, and hopefully they're going to save it again. I can only pray that they will, and I firmly believe they will, and hopefully they'll give her the best care afterwards for the rest of her life. They've been incredibly supportive and incredibly fast acting in terms of what they've done this second time they got her in. Middle of October, had the full diagnosis by November after strenuous tests, was in every week, twice a week until then, and we got the confirmation. But then, as I say, from then on, it's now just been the waiting, and that has been the most mind-numbing, you know, part of this journey. And that's kind of why the wheels fell off this podcast a bit. I've had to deal with that waiting, and, you know, in that meantime, in that waiting, your wife is still poorly and still getting worse. The disease doesn't switch off because you're not being tested anymore. Just because you got your surgery date doesn't mean, oh, well, hallelujah, let's throw a party. Surgery's coming up, let's live life to the max. It doesn't just stop like that. So, that is the reason, really, why I've been away. But I decided, you know, I need to pick myself up, dust myself off. I've been promising to do another one of these for the past few weeks and haven't. Thank you to everyone that has been listening in the meantime, and, as I say, following the journey via social media, which is the Instagram page. But yeah, let's crack on, shall we? There's a major introduction, wasn't it? But I think it's needed after a month away. So, chapter 6. Please, Mr. Boyer, tell me what the chapter's called today. Well, the chapter is called Judgment. Judgment. Now, I did give a little spoiler alert for that on the social media channel the other day, that I was going to be calling it Judgment. Judgment Day is coming. What is it like to be judged? Why do we judge others? Should we be judging others? How do people with rare diseases feel when they are judged? These are all questions we've got to ask ourselves, and these are all questions I'm going to take a stab at in today's episode. So as always, folks, strap yourselves in. This is Chapter 6 from the other side of the fence. So, Judgment then, that's the title for today's chapter. Now, you're probably thinking, well, that seems a bit odd. He just gave that big intro. I thought it might have been about, you know, what's going on presently. But I've been wanting to do this for a while, this particular topic. And again, for those that have kept up to date with me on the Instagram page, one thing I was quite keen to do with this podcast all the way from the beginning was to have an honest, raw narrative that you know reflected my actual life, reflected what is going on and reflected what other people go through. I didn't want it just to be a process piece of crap. And that's one thing I've been realizing when I've listened back to some of the podcasts when I've been editing, etc. I've listened and I thought, do you know what? Do I actually talk like that all the time? And the answer's no. You know, I do feel like I've been maybe a little bit too PC. For anyone that knows me, you know, I've got a bit of a potty mouth. See, there's me being PC again. Instead of just saying, you know what? Yeah, I fucking swear. Well, crap. Well, you know, I do. But and this is what I want it to be. I want all this podcast to be true to what I'm saying and who I am. So I'm going to step away from that PC. It's not going to be, you know, like a D12 Eminem album where I'm just going to be constantly swearing like, yeah, fuck bitches, yeah, whoa, fucking cushions, fuck that shit. It's not going to be like that. But I'm going to try and, talk in a proper, proper manner, how I normally talk at home. One thing with Cushions, one thing with rare diseases is these diseases aren't PC, are they? They're absolute bullshit. You know, you don't get a nice disease, and you don't look at it from necessarily an angle where you're like, oh, let's be respectful, let's talk, and let's not drop our standards, whatever. And it's just not on. You know, that's not how I especially live my life with my wife. That, you know, there's days where it's absolutely shit, and that's the God honest truth. So that's what I wanted to kind of do. And this episode, as I say, entitled Judgment, is another one where I've been itching to take a stab at the dark in it, itching to get my points across from a perspective of those who feel judged, particularly with Cushing's disease, going all the way back to the very first episode. I told you about the symptoms of what happens with Cushing's and the metamorphic changes that occur in the body. There's many other illnesses out there that change the way we look. And I can only, I'm not in that position. Thankfully, I'm a very handsome, beautiful and charming young man that never has to worry about looks. That's a load of bollocks. It is. I'm only joking there. My head looks like, Alien from James Cameron's films. That's like kind of the shit from my head. It's like almost like a backwards Hey Arnold. So, yeah, definitely not a stunner in the looks department. But I make up for it in wit and charm. I do try. But that's besides the point. But, apart from that alien-shaped head I've got, I don't have anything in terms of medical issues. Like, maybe call that a medical issue. Some sort of hybrid human and alien offspring. But apart from that, you know, I haven't got anything medically wrong with me. I've not got something that affects the way I look. I don't have tumors all over my face. I don't have enlarged parts of my body as a result of complications. I'm not missing any limbs, you know. So I can't necessarily talk in terms of knowing deep down how those people feel. However, again, I can only talk from the standpoint I am at the minute, and that is being with my wife. She's gone through this where her body has changed, so I see what it does to her. I know how she feels from how she tells me. I can't imagine it or talk about it in a way of like, yes, I definitely know how that feels, because I don't. I've not been dealt that hand yet. And hopefully, fingers crossed, I won't be. But, you know, I would like to address these issues of judgment when we are looking at people. And I'm going to really start that this off is and say, what is judgment? Why do we do it? I mean, we are littered in this day and age now with social media platforms to be able to, you know, express ourselves. Oh, everyone like this. Oh, look at me. I'm here today. I've done this. Oh, take a picture of me here. Oh, my God. I'm having the best life ever. Oh, my God. This is amazing. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, look how fabulous my life is. Everyone like it. Oh, I'm going to write about this book I've just read that's just changed my life forever. Everything we put on social media is there waiting to be judged. And we do it. We like it. And we'll comment on it. That's passing on our judgment. And we do it in everyday society when we're doing it now. I will hold my hands up. I'm more than guilty of this in the past. And I think we can all hold our hands up and say we're guilty of this. But you walk past someone on the street in your head, you know, that voice you talk to every single day, the voice you talk to more than anyone else. You're like, oh, God, what is she wearing? Oh, as if he looks like that. As if he's come out looking like that. Oh, God, another one. One of the prime ones. Well, they're a bit fat. Oh, God, she could lose some weight. Yeah. Oh, he should put that down, shouldn't he? He don't need that, does he? Okay. Oh, that chair's going to break. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, she's cut her hair like that. That woman's bald. Oh, what's she doing? Oh, that woman's got hairy arms. Oh. Look at that guy. He's well small, isn't he? You know, these are examples of that judgment. That, you know, that we will talk to our imaginary friend in our head. And as I say, I have been guilty of passing looks on, passing judgment on the appearance of people. I know I have. I'm not perfect. It's only, as you say, through battling this with my wife, I've had to change that perspective. And, you know, it's now how we look at it and operate and how we conduct ourselves after, you know, a devastating situation is then how we show who we really are. And, you know, I always think myself nowadays, well, why did I do that? Because if someone does that to my wife, how does that make her feel? How does that make me feel knowing someone's upset her? Yep, I used to do it as well. Yeah, even if it was in your own head, or if you spoke out to someone like your friends and said, oh, no, look at them. Why are we doing that? It's ridiculous, isn't it? Is it our analytic nature, you know, of, oh, we need to be conducting ourselves and showing ourselves off to the opposite sex, you know, to warrant, oh, let's mate? Or is it now the fact that we are just led by the media and tabloids and magazines and how we should look and how we should be and how we should feel, how we should speak? Is it all because of that? I don't know. I don't have the answers. I'm not, you know, a life's philosopher. But what I am is a man who's walking many roads, especially in trying to support my wife, who's had to deal with these types of comments, these types of thoughts being thrown her way that are upsetting. And then it's how I feel about her being upset due to these comments. And that is one of the main focus points for me is when someone is, you know, judging another individual, what gives them the right to do that? What gives us the right to think, you know what, we can comment on how you look, how you should feel, how you should, you know, act in society? Is it because of this bullshit like agenda of, oh, free country, free speech? That doesn't give us the license to be absolute knobheads, does it? That doesn't give us the license to go and be nasty and insult individuals because they don't fit your criteria of how we should or how you think people should be. If we all looked the same, life would be very bloody boring, wouldn't it? It really would. Some people choose to look a certain way. That is their choice. Don't judge them for that. Embrace it. Oh, yeah. And I just say, why would you want everyone to be the same? Just some like dystopian nightmare. It's just ridiculous. Just live in a black and white world then. Life is full of colour. So embrace it. Who cares? Who cares if someone likes a certain type of music? Who cares if they want to dress a certain way? Who cares if they want to, you know, identify as a certain gender? Who cares? It's their choice. It's not, you know, it's not up to you to pass your judgment onto them on how they should be living. Are you living their lives? Are you? Do you know what they're going through 24/7? No, you don't. So keep them thoughts to your head, like in your own head, to yourself. No, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I'd say, yes, I'm not just preaching here. I've been guilty of myself, and I had to change that mindset of flipping it to, well, there's someone I really care about here that's gone through a change that's not her fault. And that's what another, like, you know, flip of the coin is. There are people, as I've just mentioned, that choose to look or, you know, dress a certain way. Some people choose to eat a lot of food, to be larger than what you would class, again, as a normal person. Or they don't want to eat a lot of food. They want to go to the gym. They want to be dead skinny. They don't want to go to the gym. They do. Life is made of choices. There's them individuals that choose to do that. There's then other individuals, like in my wife's case here, who's perfectly normal, happy, healthy life, and then put on 6 stone due to a brain tumor that caused too much hormones in a body. And I say brain, just to generalise it here. I'm not going to be flipping out like pituitary tumor, it's just under the brain. I'm just going to obviously generalise it as brain is at the base of the brain. For those that want to nitpick over it, but again, that's judgment there, judging me, and that's, you know, come on, let's listen to these lessons I'm trying to teach. Listen to your lecturer bodge here. But, you know, these people haven't had that choice. So then when someone's like, oh, God, she's got on. Put away, are you? Oh, you're pregnant. I mean, I must have heard that about 17, 18 times in the 5 years of being with my wife. Oh, when you're due? When are you due? Like, my instant reaction. And I'm sat, like, stood there in a shop where I've heard it probably the most times, or when we've gone out for food. Oh, when are you due? When we've ordered, like, an alcoholic beverage. My instant thought, this is what runs from my head. Number one, I'm going to go and punch you in the fucking throat. Like, who the fuck do you think you are, like, saying that? Number two, why the hell are you saying that? Why would you just assume that we're pregnant? Number three is, because you've made that assumption about her being pregnant, what if you'd have said that to someone who can't have kids? In this case, again, me and my wife don't know if we can have kids because of what's gone on to her body, with the fact that she was put through the menopause when she was wrongly diagnosed with ovarian syndrome instead of Cushing's. So we don't know that. So again, that's already offensive. You've already offended us on that third point. And number four is, it's just a completely ridiculous passive judging statement to make. You've made that decision in your head and you think, it's perfectly acceptable to just blurt that out. It's just wrong. I'd say, yeah, once I finally calmed down from my stage one of not wanting to rip the throat out, and then complain, I thought, well, why are you saying that? My wife just always laughs it off. Oh, no. Oh, she's now, in some cases, she started saying, oh, soon, just because it's easier. But it's like, you're joking me, aren't you? Oh, yeah, I'm just going to walk up to a complete stranger on the street. Oh, when you do, love. Excuse me. When you do, I've seen you've got a bit of a belly there, so I'm just imagining that you're pregnant, because you can't be fat, clearly, because who would be fat? Yeah? Who would be fat? Excuse me, what are you talking about? Your belly there, it's showing a bit, so you must be pregnant. How long are you due? I'm not, sir. Oh, right, so you're just choosing. What the fuck? You're choosing to be fat. Oh, my apologies. That wouldn't happen, would it? It's ridiculous. And it's, you know, it's about getting into these mindsets of, yeah, some of these stuff you can say, even in innocence, you say, oh, when you do, like, oh, pregnancy is meant to be the happiest time of your life. Even in innocence, you know, these statements, these judging statements can have a detrimental effect to others because they're not always true. So it's just about being careful, really, isn't it? We've just been careful and selective of what you want to say. And yeah, that's another thing where Rice always had his eye. You put a bit of weight on, haven't you, since last senior? Yeah, because I've got a brain tumor. Oh. All right. But why are we even saying that in the first place? If someone wants to look that way, let them look that way. Other people, my wife absolutely hates the way she looks. She hates herself for it. And I have to remind her every single day, listen, you can't hate yourself because, well, I love you for the start. But hating yourself is then admitting defeat to the illness. This isn't your fault. This is the illness's fault. We've got to overcome that. And when then people are making comments like that, it just affects us so badly, so much worse. It sends her back into all. If she's managed to put on the courage to, you know, go out, get out of bed in the first place sometimes, not use a walking aid, not use a wheelchair. If she's made the decision and she's shown that courage to, you know, what I'm going to fight today, I'm going to go out, I'm going to go and socialise. I'm going to paint that mask on that I've talked about in the past episodes. I'm going to paint that mask on and I'm going to have a good time. I'm not going to let this illness define me today. 2 hours later, oh, you've put weight on, haven't you? Just some stranger at a party or whatever. What do you think that does to confidence? What do you think that does to the battle with rare diseases? What do you think that does to the individual who is already battling a war we couldn't imagine? Someone like myself who's perfectly healthy, touch wood, what do you think that does to their self-esteem and confidence? It absolutely shatters it, obviously. And, you know, why are we doing that? Why are we deciding to pass our judgment on to others instead of just keeping it to ourselves? When I'm asking these hard-hitting questions and giving these hard-hitting examples, I'm hoping some of it will sink into others and take away from that. And again, as I've said, repeated, I've been guilty of that. I used to be a right little knob when I was a teenager. I thought it was funny, do you know, like insult girls and stuff I didn't get on with, or there's a kiss and I didn't want to admit to kissing. Childish, pathetic stuff that I've done in the past. And I'm ashamed of it, and oh God, if I could see any of them, these people that I feel like I'd harmed in any way by judging them, then I would hands up apologise. But again, all you'd have to ask is my mates. They all think I'm a massive knob. But in that same breath, that knob is also the one who's standing here trying to raise awareness for this condition. The last year I've earned over £5,000 for charity, you know, promoting this this disease. I've done numerous talks within my own employer's workplace, as well as gone to Rotary meetings and obviously these podcasts in terms of raising awareness for Cushions and the Petruch Foundation, as well as becoming a volunteer ambassador for them. And these are things I'm very proud of. You know, you can say, oh, well, he used to be a knob because he judged people and stuff. He'd made some comments. Yeah, we all do. There cannot be one single person here who's perfect. But we can all go a right. We can all go a long way to making rights from our previous wrongs. We can all go a long way to becoming better people, and we can all go a long way to not being as judgy as we were before in terms of hurting people's feelings. And when you ask yourself that, do you feel like, oh, well, I do say a bitch about people behind the back? No, I do pass comment on the way they look. If you ask yourself, are you one of them people? Then really, the only onus on change is going to come from yourself. Is how would you like it if something happened to you that was beyond your control? We'll take a look at that in the next segment of this chapter. There we go. Just had a little sip of my tea then. Felt like a little kettle then about to blow its lid. You know, when it's like boiling too long, it's like whistling like... That's what I felt like then, just, you know, completely about to blow my top. So I've had a little sip of my tea now in that little 2 second break, and I've calmed down a bit. But you know, it's a proper I can't even think of the words to describe it. It's a proper battlefield, I suppose. Minefield, that's probably the better word there. Minefield is talking about judgment, especially when you're supporting someone with Cushing's disease or any rare disease in which affects your physical appearance. I know there's many diseases out there that you'll be more familiar with, especially in terms of the pituitary gland, what affects the pituitary gland, should I say. I mean, acromegaly is another big one with physical changes to the body. And the Pituitary Foundation supports them alongside, obviously, Cushing's as well. And acromegaly, just to give you a little sum up on that, if you've seen any of the old James Bond films, Jaws or Andre the Giant, you know, these people who are, you know, the features are incredibly enlarged. Acromegaly is the perpetrator of that. There's such symptoms. And, you know, there's others where tumours can just appear all over the body, or but you know, we've seen a lot of these horror documentaries on like Channel 4, like where boy turns into tree or stuff like that, and you sit there and at the time watching them like, oh my god, what is this? Oh no, that is horrid, that. And again, we're passing judgment instead of like, you know, just thinking, oh Jesus Christ, could you actually, if you take a minute, think, bloody hell, imagine that happened to us, if that happened to me. That'll never happen to me. It's, you know, it's some little boy in India that's happened to, not me. So I've mentioned before, we are so fragile. So fragile. It's like walking, our bodies are like walking across a newly frozen pond. And the ice is less than a couple of millimetres on top, and you're trying to walk across it, there's going to be cracks appear. You know, we can never say, well, we're going to be healthy all of our life, because it's just pretty much impossible. Our bodies aren't designed to stay healthy for the rest of our lives. And with rare disease and stuff, obviously, with the heading rare, you know, you'd like to think, oh, touch wood, I won't ever get that. You know, I might get a cold, everyone does, but I won't get whatever this pillar Connie is talking about, Cushing's disease. So I'm not going to get go to DFS and catch it, am I? Well, no, you're not going to catch it from DFS, but you never know if one of these diseases might, you know, creep up on you when overnight. And it's just about how we would prepare for something like that, and how we would feel if all of a sudden that control, again, something I've talked about a lot, has been stripped away from us, and now we're the ones being judged instead of being judged. Wouldn't like it, would we? No, our instant reaction would probably to be fight and try and crawl back any of our humanity that we had left before, where we was in control, and to try and take it back. But it doesn't work like that with these diseases, because they do break you down. I mean, there's stuff out there, even in this world today. I mean, Twitter is an absolute, you know, brothel of a mess, really, isn't it? It's just that platform, even though I'm on Twitter, I love it in terms of following like news articles, celebrities, whatever I want to follow. But it is just an absolute cesspool of individuals who feel they can hide behind the keyboard and say whatever they like to anyone. And you notice a lot of the hate is directed towards minorities or women. And that's one thing that I found quite common in terms of when we're talking about this judgment, is how easily a white male can just pass on their judgment to anyone they want. But if someone judges them back, or critiques them, or contradicts them, oh my god, the uproar is unbelievable, isn't it? And we're seeing this all over, you know, social media. And it just is, it's like the pot calling the kettle black, in it. It's absolutely ridiculous. So why do we feel so comfortable as white privileged males to just pass on this judgment, say to women, oh, you should wear this, or you shouldn't be allowed an abortion? I mean, that's going on. I can never get my head around it. I'm like, what? I'd never ever dream of telling my wife what she can or can't do, or what she can and can't wear, what she can and can't eat. Out of what she does with her body, why should I? Why on earth should I pass my judgment on how she should look? And you know, you see it, and with women survivors of like rape, of domestic violence, you know, they struggle to break out of that grasp, and you know, get the courage to fight back and stand up and be heard. And it's so, when I read these stuff, these articles, or watch it on the news, basically I'm just thinking that how is this going on in 2019? And again, I've said it right at the beginning of this podcast, is I can't understand it because I'm not a woman. I've not been someone who's ever been oppressed. I'm in the perfect suit, if you'd like. I'm a white male. So I've never faced any oppression. I've never faced any bigotry. I've never faced any misogynism. I've never faced any racism. I've never faced any prejudice against me because of the colour of my skin or my sexuality. I've never faced any of that. So I am the ideal person. And I'm saying that with massive quotes because I'm not an ideal person. This is what my point is. But in the eyes of these assholes that are, just passing this judgment, oh, we should be white, it's just ridiculous. We're people. Doesn't matter what colour, what religion, what sex, whatever you are, we're all people at the end of the day. And I just can't understand. I can never understand racism, and I can never understand, as you say, misogynism or hatred towards gays or anything like that. I can't get my head around it. I'm like, well, why are we passing this? Why do you care so much? Why do you care? Why do you care? It's just ridiculous. You're that incensed by someone's choices. You feel you have to go on a barrage of hate against someone, or you feel you have to react to their decisions and try and stop them from living their life. What on earth is that about? What? Why? What have you got nothing else better to do? You can read a book. Do something with your life. Instead of fucking going down these paths of hate just to fucking purely like form a point that isn't there in the first place. But this is one thing I've found with Amy and stuff. She still faces the misogynistic and anti-feminist views in the hospital world, and unfortunately there is. And one thing I've always found is that's always blamed is like, oh, there's cultural barriers. Again, respect culture, but we've also got to respect ourselves. And I don't think there should be, when it comes to people's health, I don't think there should be any barriers that get in the way of, treating that individual. No matter what religion, no matter what cultural beliefs you come to, if you're deciding to make that oath to, helping people, you want to work in the NHS, you want to work as a doctor or whatever, you're taking an oath to save people's lives. Not to pass judgment on them or, I can't deal with that person because, they're a woman. And that there has been times where I've had to go to appointments with my wife because she's been fobbed off. I mentioned it in the past where, we've had doctors say to her, oh, have you got mummy and daddy issues? Is that why you're eating? Or do you know how much is in a packet of crisps? How many calories? Like, really belittling, things to say to an individual. And I purely believe that's a woman, because when I then went into these appointments and I started laying down the law with my little Yorkshire Terrier act, angry little dog syndrome, it's completely changed. The attitudes of the men that was addressing my wife previously and insulting her intelligence, being misogynistic and being belittling towards her, then was suddenly, oh yeah, well, we'll get you referred to here, we'll get you referred to there, we'll do this test. And we've had to battle that. And it's incredibly, obviously, frustrating and infuriating. And then when I sit there and I'm like, oh, can never understand how these people, like, as I say, whether it's women, whether it's blacks, whether it's Muslims, whatever it is, gays, whether it's one of them, I can't understand because I've never been oppressed. I can only imagine it being horrendous because, I've had to get angry, physically angry, in a lot of these doctor's surgeries to have my wife's voice heard. And it should never be like that. She's her own person. Just, again, the illness doesn't define her. She's still her own strong person. Now, I know people that are intimidated by the opposite sex to the point where they're like, oh, I have to be the breadwinner. What? What do you mean you have to be the breadwinner? Well, can't my wife have a better job than me? Why? What's wrong with that? Well, this stay-at-home dad stuff. Like, whoa, what's wrong with that? Yeah, but she's a woman. She's a girl. Judgment again there. It's like, well, I don't understand. So she isn't capable of being more than successful than you. Yeah, but that'd just be weird, wouldn't it? Like, what? What on earth are you talking about? You absolute muppet.
my life, went to university. I didn't. She's smart as hell. Smart, one of the smartest people I've ever known. A blog at the minute. She writes a lot on a blog. I haven't actually mentioned it on this podcast, I don't believe, but I have mentioned it on Instagram. She has her own website. She paid to create her own website to try and help people originally. It's been up and running for about a year. And she's had like over 4 million hits to her website reading the journey she puts on there. My podcast, I've not done nowhere near that. I'm intimidated by my wife for that. I'm like, oh, so if she's done more than me. No, I'm not. I'm there to support. She'd absolutely smack. If she didn't have an illness, my God, I'd be happy to be a stay-at-home dad because there's no way I could keep up with her. I've just like literally bodged my way through life, got quite good at it, quite good at bullshitting, and managed to get myself into a good job from doing that. But that's about it. It's just been luck of the draw. But then again, I'm in that ideal suit, as I've just mentioned. Ah, white male, boom. Will I rim? Are you white, sir? Yes. Are you male? Yes. Job's yours. Boom. But, you know, I hope he's not like that. But, you know, that's just that's a little joke. But with my wife, she would be flying high, soaring way above me. She had job offers and offers in Dubai. She had a scholarship to go to America to study further over there. I was like, yeah, I'll come and be a cleaner. It wouldn't have bothered me. It would not have bothered me because when you're with someone, it's that whole level of compromise, isn't it? It's that whole level of support. Well, yeah, if you're getting a better, you know, if you're earning more money, if you've got better prospects than me, of course we'll go down your route. Not because I'm a male and you should stay in the kitchen and make me a sandwich, woman. You know, come on, get a grip, guys. Well past that. It's 2019 now. You know, just going back, but then again, that all ties in with this judgment, doesn't it? Judgment of the opposite sex, judgment over different beliefs, judgment over skin colour. It all relies to this, and again, the poison chalice are these people who just decide to take offence to a person's appearance, decide to take offence to a person's views, decide to take offence to a person's morals, and think, right, do you know what? I'm going to shove down your throat my views. How is... like that is going to solve anything, but you know, that's going to continue no matter what. However, I'd like people who are following this to, you know, just have a little thinking time. Just think, do I do any of these stuff? And as I've said, I'm holding my hand up, I'm waving it about, I've done this stuff. Yeah, I mean, life is too short to continue down those roads and continue doing those actions. So, I mean, that'll really just bring an end to really this ranting chapter. And yeah, it has been a rant because, you know, this is something that these issues of judgment is what something that we deal with on a daily basis. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of you out there that can relate to that, having to relate to being judged by others purely based on initial looks. And, you know, that's the point. It's not as just transparent as that, is it? It's not a case of like, oh, just because they look like that, it's their choice. No, there can be reasons for the way we look, the physical the features on our bodies. There can be reasons for that. It's about, you know, adjusting that mindset, as I've said throughout this podcast today. I mean, if we was to all do that, if we was to all switch the way we think and the way we address one another, then it would be a completely different world we lived in, really, wouldn't it? It'd be a nicer world, I'd like to think. You know, these are all steps we can only take. No one can hold our hands and do it for us. We have to take these actions. We have to decide we want to be a better person. We have to decide that we want to support each other instead of bringing each other down. And when we start making those choices, you know, everything else will then just fall into place. And as I said, this one has been a bit of a rant. But I would hope that people do take away some of the lessons from there. And as always, you know, my expertise is in support, supporting other people. As I've mentioned in the past, in my free time, as well as supporting my wife, I am a volunteer ambassador for the Pituitary Foundation. And now that is a national charity that helps people with pituitary conditions. I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of that. To be able to stand there and say, I actually represent a charity. Don't just fundraise for them. I represent them. in everything I do, the awareness campaigns I do. I've, in my employment, I've done numerous talks. I've been to Rotary meetings to get funding. I've climbed Snowdon. I've, you know, doing these podcasts, my wife's doing the blogs. Everything here, banging the drums to, you know, make this illness heard, to bring it from out of the darkness and into the light. So in terms of support, one of them key roles from working with the foundation that I like to offer is that I'm there for anyone who's struggling and initially accepting that there's, you know, something wrong, pituitary related, whether it be Cushing's or another disease. I'm not an expert on other diseases, by the way. However, I do know, as I say, a lot about the diseases that the Pituitary Foundation deal with. But as I say, my expertise is in support. So if anyone does want to reach out, you know, you can find me via the social media channels, or there's help and advice on my wife's website as well. Or as well, you know, you can even find me on the Pituitary Foundation's website under their volunteers section. I'm always here. I'll do my best to, you know, try and help and give advice. This is really, again, what the basis of this podcast is, to try and pass on advice and tips and help to others. So, and again, if anyone wants to share their stories, if anyone wants to pass on some advice, if you want me to say it for you, if you feel like you can't, you know, or you haven't got the outlets to be able to do that, then, yes, by all means, send it on. Any advice or any, you know, criticism or even support, it's all welcome. You know, I've just done an episode here about judgment. I'm not just wanting you to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to judge it well. It was good. Judge it bad, but instead of just being like, oh, mate, that was a piece of shit. What the fuck are you talking about? You know, that just that's blunt and horrible, isn't it? Just be like, ah, hey, mate, listen to your podcast. Run really for me. Maybe you did something like this, or this, that might make it better. You know, it's just about, again, how we change our thought process on judgment. World would be a better place. So, until next time, amigos, as always, thank you for listening. I will just say quickly to add that the next chapter will probably be my last one for, again, an extended period of time. With my wife's impending up on the 30th of January, she can be in hospital up to 3 weeks in intensive care, so obviously I'm going to have a lot on my plate then. So I doubt I'm going to be really making and producing podcasts in the meantime. However, I will be back in again in another fortnight for another chapter, so please don't forget to tune in there, and you can find me on all available channels and subscribe or whatever. Again, thank you, and as always, keep on fighting, amigos. Ciao, peace out, bye, thank you.